My name is Jerrica Lala, and this is my beloved co-host, Captain Nancy. We are Podcast Sheroes, mixing all the colors of the spectrum into a nice, warm brown. Only a few others know this podcast. Donna, Kirsty, Brenda, Joanne, Debbie, Betty, River, Midge, and now you, dear listener. Together, we will join forces to spill tea and fight the patriarchy. Fabulous pop culture secrets were revealed to us the day we opened our mics and said, "This time on the Popular Parallax."
And we're back!
Yay!
Are we recording?
Yes.
Great.
Of course.
Well, hello and welcome. Oh, no, God. I just...
It's okay. Just it's picking it up. Picking it up real nice, but just...
I'm using my theater school voice.
Lovely.
Come on. Apologies for any volume problems in this episode.
We're having current sound issues with the show. It will get better, kids, but not today.
Yeah, that was kind of my motto growing up.
Yeah.
It's going to get better, just not today.
Not today.
Peridot and I are going to get real cozy. Speaking of, today's episode is one that I've been personally looking forward to for a very long time. And I've been trying to shove at Jerrica for what feels like a million years.
Two years or so.
About that, give or take. Yeah. I think our first podcast meeting, I was like, Game of Thrones! And now it's happening.
It's happening.
Bum, bum, butter bum. So, with a topic this big, huge, vast, we knew we couldn't do it alone. So we had to bring back one of our illustrious guests from a previous episode, Peridot! Hello!
Hey.
Welcome back!
Hey, thanks so much for having me again. I'm super excited to be here, especially since the last time I was here, I explicitly said that Game of Thrones was one of the things that I loved. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you invited me back on for this means a lot.
Thank you for coming. We are very happy to have you. It's a lot to break down. It's a lot to discuss. And let's start with you, Peridot. What was your introduction to Game of Thrones? How did you get into the whole world?
Oh, boy. Okay, so a few years ago, there was an exhibit that came to town, the Game of Thrones exhibit put on by HBO. Oh, yes. And I was working the gift shop at the Design Exchange at the time. So we had all the merch, but I knew nothing about the series. And then one of my coworkers gave me a breakdown, and she's like, yeah, there are dragons and incest. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I actually watched the show, and this was before season 3 came out. I watched the show, the first 2 seasons, and I read the books, and now I'm reading The World of Ice and Fire, which is the, like...
Right, yeah. Like the breakdown. Is it all the houses? Like their lineage and whatnot?
It includes the houses, it includes just, like, general regions, like history of castles, regions, like the Dawn Age, Age of Heroes.
Now, who wrote this?
Expansive. George R. R. Martin, along with Elio Garcia and Linda Antonsson, who run, I think it's Westeros.org. It's like a fan site. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, it was something that a friend of mine was reading it, and then she called me and was like, you need to check out the series. And so I read the first book and was immediately hooked. Immediately hooked. Like, I then quickly read the next 3 books. And this was during the season 1 when it was airing. And it's just been ever since. Oh, it's a hold on me. Like, these past 18 months have been brutal waiting for this last fucking season. And because especially the last book was published 2011.
Yes.
George, this gets to you. It won't.
Should be out soon. Don't worry.
Okay, so I was at Calgary Comic Con a few years ago, and I made, there was a Q&A. It was like an evening with the Lannisters. And so it was Lena Headey and Peter Dinklage. I was like, what's going to happen if George dies before the books are finished? Like, are there things in place? Does he have, like, proteges who know certain lines? And Peter Dinklage made me feel like an idiot for thinking George R. R. Martin would, like, ever die. Because he's not a healthy-looking man, just saying.
No,
neither am I, but, like, at least I'm, you know, pushing 30, not 60 or whatever.
I don't think those books are coming. That's my
personal opinion.
But, well, it's just, if I put myself in the body of a huge, sexist old white man who has written these things and now is rich beyond avarice because of this show, why would I work hard to put out another huge volume when it's already been written for me on the show?
Yeah, I think he's feeling the pressure for sure, especially like since he's revealed like the endgame to the showrunners, and he's specifically mentioned that, like, you know, he's kind of disappointed he didn't get to reveal some of the big plot twists mm-hmm. that we've seen on the show already.
I bet.
Hold the door.
Oh god, I just, oh yeah, that's yeah. That was, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, were spoilers all, anything's game for this episode? Yeah.
For season 8?
Well, for no, just no, like this
for
podcast.
Up to most, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. No, okay, so if you're not up to date on Game of Thrones,
don't listen.
Just stop watching.
Yeah. Just start watching 800,000 episodes.
Yes, which is what Jerrica has spent
painless,
the past month
easy
doing.
Watching. Yeah.
Yeah, just real light. You can just throw it on when you're, you know, meditating.
Yeah.
It's a great background track for that. So how has your experience been? Because when we decided to do this, you hadn't seen any Game of Thrones.
No. So I did a crash course.
Yeah. Thank you. Big thank you.
My pleasure. If you want to do something, you got to do it right. And so I watched as many episodes as possible. When I couldn't watch all the episodes, I sort of watched recaps.
Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you, Game of Thrones started off so strong this week, giving a little shout out to all those pain-hungry queens.
Maybe it really is all cocks in the end.
And it's the annual Westeros corporate retreat, and it is not going smoothly. Everyday root touch-up shows up late, and so Dublin gift shop crown is pissed.
We've been here for some time.
Sorry, I'm on DPT, dragon people time. Have you ever been a single mother without any kids? It's hard. I just have dragons.
So that's one of the things that we wanted to focus on today, was talking about the women in Westeros, who I find are probably my favorite characters of the series.
They're the most interesting characters.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But first, let's do a tight, quick recap of where all the characters are at the end of season 7. So, at Winterfell.
We have the Starks reunited.
Yes, queens! Yes. Oh, the two ladies!
And the execution of Littlefinger, which finally, because... gross.
Oh my god.
Disgusting. So Bran, Sansa, and Arya are reunited.
Mm-hmm. Sam and Gilly.
Bran's now in the band Led Zeppelin. He likes to take a magic carpet ride and look like a 70s rock star just in a wheelchair.
Constantly
they
on
just,
acid.
They just handily invented a wheelchair.
Yeah.
That's great.
This is when all the new wheels are being invented. We've got, oh my god, doors. Look at that. Yeah. We made walls happen.
Right. Innovation.
Innovation in Westeros. Yeah. Like,
sorry.
We have them to thank for like the automobile. I don't know. Sam and Gilly and Little Sam arrive at the very, very end. Just in time for a big reveal of Jon, who is currently en route to Winterfell.
Banging Daenerys.
Banging his aunt, just having some casual sex with his relative, which is no big deal in Westeros. But also en route to Westeros are Tyrion, Brienne, Davos, and their whole company of people. Then at King's Landing.
Cersei, queen, apparently. Some reason. And Jaime having just left Cersei in that beautiful
hides his golden hand and rides up north. Yeah. Also, Cersei is pregnant, maybe?
Apparently.
Probably
with Jaime's child, I believe. I think they mentioned that, but I don't know. It could just be...
It could be a lie.
Yeah.
I think it might be a lie. Yeah. We'll see. Who knows? She crazy. And we also have the Sand Snakes actively dying in the crypts. At the wall, we've got Tormund, Giantsbane, Beric Dondarrion. Gendry is also there. We don't exactly know where on the wall he is. He gets to Eastwatch, but...
Right. He gets back.
And then Eastwatch is where the attack happens.
Yes.
By the undead. So, yes. Is he alive? Probably.
We haven't seen him die, so...
Yeah. And then we've got Melisandre on her way to Volantis. Euron with Yara on his way to Essos to get the Golden Company for Cersei. Theon is on his way to save Yara. I'm not entirely sure where Bronn, Podrick, and the Hound are.
Yeah, I think last time we saw Podrick and Bronn, they were gonna go get a drink while the fancy people were meeting in the dragon pit.
While the grown-ups talk.
While the grown-ups talk, yeah.
So we've got people finally coming together all over Westeros. It's great to see these big scenes with all these characters finally meeting. Like, that is so satisfying. To see Cersei and Dany finally meet.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Like, have Brienne and the Hound back together for a little tense, like, stare. I did find the beginning of that scene where it's like, okay, we have to get these confrontations out of the way. So we'll do Theon and Euron, and then we'll do Cersei and Jaime, or Jon, and then we'll do... who else had, like, a beef to...
Sandor and his brother,
right?
Kregor, when he's like, you know who's coming for you. You've always known. Like, yeah,
it's gonna happen.
Remember me? Yeah, you do. You're even fucking uglier than I am now. What did they do to you? Doesn't matter. That's not how it ends for you, brother. You know who's coming for you. You've always known.
Now I've got some roundtable, some quick questions that I wanted to pose to you all. Who is your favorite male character?
I have to say Wheelchair.
My God. Why?
Because he's in Led Zeppelin and he's on a magic carpet.
I think you're probably the only person who would
love
say
that kid. Yeah.
Is your favorite male character.
He's differently abled. He's some kind of weird sorcerer now. I'm not sure where his story's
going.
He's
the three-eyed raven. What does that mean?
Nobody knows what it means. But
still
He could end up on the throne.
He could.
Because everybody else is going to fucking die. Yeah.
What about you, Peridot? Favorite male character?
I'm going to go with Sandor Clegane. He's like a little daddy that just...
Yeah.
You know, he's gruff old man that just takes care of the girls. And then... and hates fire.
Yeah. Has had a real shit go of it.
My fucking luck that I end up with a band of fire worshippers.
Yeah.
Dead.
Mine is Hot Pie. What is your favorite death of the whole series?
I'd have to go with Lady Olenna. Just
that's
like
a great fucking death scene.
Badass. Like, well, I'm just gonna drink this fucking poison and spill the beans. Yeah. I killed your son. Like, tell Cersei.
I wanted to know it was me.
Yeah, right?
I love Diana Rigg going, never go up against a Sicilian when death is on the line. I wanted her to say that, but she didn't. That was a good death scene.
That was cool.
And so was the Littlefinger death scene.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was almost overplayed out, but it was still very, everybody wanted it.
Yeah.
They had to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And nice little in the neck. Yeah. Why they make the mess indoors, I still don't understand. They should have done it outside. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be bloodstain on the floor. But
things like winter's like here. It's cold outside.
Yeah, they don't care.
Is that what you'd say? Littlefinger, favorite death?
Yeah, that and the Diana Rigg one.
Yeah.
Also, honorable mention to Viserys.
That gold crown
spilled on his head. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you remember that from the first season?
Oh, I remember it.
Oh, can't forget it.
Yeah. Oh my God, my bull husband, who's an animal, just poured gold all over my brother. And I kind of had a weird neutral face because I don't know how to react.
If you could recast one actor on the show, who would it be?
Tyrion. I want the ugly book Tyrion that we were promised.
But it's, and then, like, after the Battle of Blackwater, he's supposed to get, like, his nose chopped. Like, his nose is gone. It's
when
like
they cut
massive,
his face.
And in the show, it's like
it's a cut.
Sexy scar.
Yeah. That's endearing. Like, you look great, right?
Yeah. He looks like a pirate dad.
The mini pirate dad.
He's so charming, though.
Yeah.
He really is likable. Yeah. They sort of made him a little bit ruggedly handsome.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage is like a sexy man.
You can get it.
I was sort of surprised that it wasn't somebody like
Warwick
Davis. I thought it would be him.
Oh, yeah.
Who I do think he would have been good in it as well. He's a little older, but he's not that old.
Yeah.
Because the accent is incredibly weird.
It's super
His
weird.
Pronunciation is very odd.
What about you?
Oh, recast? Mm-hmm. Probably Daenerys.
Yeah.
Because since I was constantly trying to recast or watching the show, like just trying to think of options, so I'll go with her.
I'm going to say Littlefinger. Yeah. He's the one that really bothers me the most consistently. Favorite female character?
Diana Rigg.
Yeah, I'm going with Lady Olenna for sure.
That's such a small part, but she's
so good.
Yeah.
I think in the show, probably Diana Rigg. As a character, not in the show, though specifically, I think I identify most with Sansa. Just like depressed teenage girl.
She's really good, too.
She's really good.
Yeah. Okay, which house would you want to be in versus which house do you realistically think you would have been born into?
I would want to be in House Martell because I feel like you could be whatever, you could come out as queer. They'd be like, as long as you're not a fucking Lannister,
yeah,
be whatever you want. I would probably be House Arryn, trying to do good, but also a little unhinged.
Yeah, sure, fair. Yeah.
Probably want to be in
the Tyrells.
Yeah.
But I'd probably end up with the fucking Starks having to like sword fight because they're like, you're 6 foot tall. Here you go, bitch. Because it's always cold and everybody's always fighting, and that's probably where I'd end up.
Yeah.
But I'd like to be like in the Hedonism Club in Jamaica or wherever the hell Diana Rigg lives. It's a Barbados commercial. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be at Hadrian's Wall. Right. Sorry, yeah. The wall.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's a good answer. Yeah. I think I would want to be a Targaryen, and I think I'd be a gay ass Tyrell. I think I'd just be...
a gay ass Targaryen?
Yeah.
Or you'd be psychotic.
I'd be Loras. I'd be like... I'm supposed to take over the house, but like, I don't want to. Dudes. I just want to do dudes.
Yeah, I don't want any responsibility because I'm gay. I'm lazy. And stupid. Yeah. I'm gay, you guys. I can't do anything.
I want to go to Dorne. I think that's, how that would go. Yeah. If you each had your own house, so the house of Jerrica, the house of Peridot, the house of Captain Nancy, what would your words be? Like, we do not sow, ours is the fury, winter is coming, and what would your banner be? So it would be House Nancy, our banner would be bright pink, with just like a peach, just right in the middle,
peach emoji.
The peach emoji, and then our words would be sorry I'm late. Yep, I was late today, by the way. I'm late every day, listeners, by the way.
Yeah,
that would definitely be it.
Okay. I want a unicorn shot. And then under the unicorn with like flowers and butterflies, just say, you're a fucking bitch.
Great. What colors? What are your colors?
I just feel like it's I don't want to say a rainbow because, but like I'll say lavender.
Oh, fine. Yeah. Okay. I was seeing that. That's cute. I love that. Yeah. I think our houses would get along.
Yeah, me too.
I'll say, sorry, I'm late. You're a fucking bitch.
I'm so 2008. You're just so 2000 late.
Oh,
yeah.
Dead. Yeah. We'd be like dead. Worthless on the battlefield, but like so fun.
Yeah. They probably marry my ass to Brienne.
Oh.
If you, like, get rid of them both in one go.
You can go to Sapphire Island and, like, live a great life together.
Turn it into, like, what's the island?
Fire Island. Yeah.
Oh, that's a big success.
That's what we need in Westeros.
More tourism industry.
Yeah.
And an island dedicated to gays. Yes.
Mine would be, four martini glasses, and my words would be, we hold our gin.
That's good. Yeah, like, come on. See, that's what I like. You're just up front. It's like, this is what you're getting. You're a fucking bitch. Sorry, I'm late. You can hold our gin.
This is what we do.
The last time a Tyrell came to Dorne, he was assassinated. 100 red scorpions, was it?
We have nothing to fear from us, Lady Olenna.
You murder your own prince, but you expect me to trust you?
We invited you to Dorne because we needed your help. You came to Dorne because you needed our help.
What is your name again? Barbara?
Obara.
Obara.
You look like an angry little boy. Don't presume to tell me what I need.
Forgive my sister. What she lacks in diplomacy,
do
she makes...
Do shut up, dear. Anything from you? No. Good. Let the grown women speak.
So the women in Westeros. We unanimously agree that our favorite characters in the show are the women. I think it's interesting to see people who have been burdened by circumstance who then have to find ways to exert their power within the confines of gender roles that are set for women. I do think that, I mean, anyone below royalty in this show is, especially women in Westeros, are fucked. Like, you have very, very limited options as to, like, your future. So privilege in this world definitely does equal power. But that was something that we wanted to talk about, was, like, the way that they exert their power, the way they kind of, like, flex the their authority in different ways. Yeah. So let's start with... Oh, did you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, even for women in royalty, because as we've seen with Cersei, like, she... has suffered domestic abuse from at the hands of Robert. Like, that is, like, even though she has exerts power later on, like, that is a problem that yes. she suffers. Yeah.
I think that is kind of like her first power move of taking away from Robert. Like, no, you're not going to be the father of our kids. I am going to choose who's going to father our children. And you're not going to notice because you don't fucking notice me.
Yeah. That's I think interesting. Yeah.
Like an early kind of, even that it doesn't have any ramifications until later, but it seems like that was an early way for her to just seize a bit of power in that relationship, because she's sure. just a figurehead.
Yeah. She's saying to Robert, like, no, your kids aren't gonna be Baratheons, they're gonna be Lannisters. Like,
full Lannisters.
That is like an ultimate power move. Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. And then we see her become obsessed with power, mm-hmm. and it does become her downfall, I think.
Yeah. And it's hard too, because, like, I want to sympathize with her, because I think a lot of the reason power is to protect herself and her children. Like, this is, they kind of explore that after Tywin's death, is that, like, after he dies, like, there is a power vacuum, right, in mm-hmm. Westeros, and, like, they're all after her. And, like, the paranoia from that Woods Witch telling her that her kids were gonna die, mm-hmm. like, and someone was gonna take, like, a younger, more beautiful queen was gonna take her place, mm-hmm. That incited her, like, rage against Margaery. I think, like, Cersei is super fascinating in that way, and I think, like, a lot of the reasons she tries to get power is rooted in that like protection of herself and her family,
and that ends up completely backfiring.
Yeah.
And all her fucking kids die.
I think she overdoes it a bit.
Oh, does she? Yeah. Does not understand moderation. The woman. Like, yeah. Lord love a duck. She, yeah.
I liked it. I like her. I think she's pretty decent the part. I think she, yeah. I buy it. I yeah, buy just, it.
Yeah,
her.
Totally.
She's got a pinched little face and she knows how to use it. Uh-huh. And the scene in the throne room where she finally got crowned, I was like, yeah, she should have been next chilling. After Charles Dance. Yeah. Like, he was a psychopath.
Yeah.
And none of the brother is an asshole who is weak, except when he rapes her in front of her dead kid. I don't even get me. I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah, no, that was.
These things haunt me, will haunt me forever now. But yeah, she deserves it.
Yeah. She's earned it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one can say she didn't work hard for it.
I just find it so fascinating. Like that crowning scene, like how she has literally zero claim to that throne, but just by virtue of being Robert's wife and then the mother of two kings,
yeah,
and then her like whole her massive bodyguard that nobody is gonna challenge, mm-hmm. and just
oh her already, zombie her fucking zombie, bodyguard. Yeah.
She just walks in that throne room, sits on the chair, and is crowned, and everyone's like, "Long may she reign," I guess.
Yeah,
but like,
don't know how we ended up here. Yeah, but no,
well,
all right.
I mean, they've always had a nut job. Royalty, so yes. I'm just like, eh.
Yeah.
Sure, another one.
Sure,
like, fine. Yeah. We've had three kings in the past 2 years. Yeah. Let's have a queen. Let's try queen.
Yeah.
Right. Can't get any worse.
She seems reasonable next to the sun.
Oh, God.
Right?
God, yeah. True, yeah. Yeah. He's a nightmare. He's a full nightmare.
He's...
The Purple Wedding is one of my favorite moments of the whole series.
Totally.
Did you watch that when he dies?
Oh, yeah.
So good. Yeah. So satisfying. So let's switch to another bitch. We have Lady Olenna. who is the leader of one of the great houses of Westeros, and she is, yeah, probably my favorite character
is that
on
Rick?
The show. Yeah.
Yeah, she's school in the show. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The writers knew that they had to, like, okay, we gotta level up for Diana here.
Yeah,
like,
think of some actual good dialogue. Give it all to this one lady. Your Maid Marian headdress, or Udalali headdress. That's you, Diana.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like Cersei could be as smart as Lady Olenna. She just lets her emotions overtake her judgment sometimes. Whereas I think Lady Olenna has controlled men as well in very similar ways, but she's used their shortcomings and she's used, like, her power of deduction in human psychology and being like, okay, where can I find a weakness here? Where can I, you know, pull a thread? And
she's not insecure.
No.
Like Cersei. Mm-hmm. Cersei has insecurity crawling out. She doesn't understand humor. That's why the son didn't understand humor, kept explaining when somebody would say a sarcastic remark. Like, I didn't mean it to be an honor. It's like, we know. Like, he's like a child, but she has some of that too.
Yes.
Whereas Rigg has, she understands humor and she's much more relaxed and she's very confident.
She's a better politician.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. She, like, married into that family too, which was interesting that, like, her son is the actual lord and patriarch of the family, but he is such a bumbling idiot that she's literally the brains behind the operation.
Yeah, and then clearly knows how to... I think she probably did most of Marjorie's parenting and, like, schooling.
Yeah.
Because you see that Marjorie has inherited all of...
They're all playing this game.
Yeah. I really wish Marjorie had survived longer to play more of that game, because I think she was a very cool player, especially in the books. Like, she is so underwritten in the books.
Oh my gosh,
she's
totally.
Like, nothing in the books. Yeah. And then Natalie Dormer came along, is great in the role, I find. And again, knows how to flex in the right way. Visiting Tommen late at night, being like, it's our secret. Like, I'm not going to come and seduce you. We're going to be friends, and that's how I'm going to trust you. And
I'm
going to
pet your cat.
Control you. Yeah, Sir Ponce.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So gross.
You're 12, so we're just going to, like, chat until you're ready to have sex. She plays the game incredibly well. I think she's one of the best players, and it's... You see people who are great players, they don't last very long.
No.
It's the ruthless characters who come in and entirely just fuck shit up for everyone else. So... Moving from Olenna and Marjorie, let's move to the Starks.
Can we talk about Sansa and Arya
together? Absolutely.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Because, what I like about them is that, like, there's a lot of, like, compare and contrast with their stories. So, Arya has a very, like, active energy, and she's very, like, headstrong, and, like, she does the sword play and all that, and becomes an fucking assassin. Whereas Sansa's power, I think, is more restrained and comes from keeping her composure in difficult situations. Yeah, so I like the way that they're, like, contrasted with each other, and they both have connections with the Hound. So the Hound protects Sansa in King's Landing, and then later on Arya in the Riverlands. So they have that connection with him.
And Brienne as well, another woman we will be talking about.
Yes.
They're so different. I feel Sansa did not have any power, really. And like you said, in those little moments where she could... She just didn't know it was something she wanted or needed. I think as the series go on, you see her... realize, okay, I have to play an active part. As you said, passive versus active. Like, I can't just keep letting these things happen to me, because for, what, 4 seasons, she was just kind of tossed around. And it was very upsetting. Like, at first, she's kind of annoying, and there's not a lot to Sansa. But when you just see her become such a product of her circumstance, that is...
Totally,
just
yeah.
horrifying.
I hate that the show... kind of skipped over a lot of her Vale storyline, but you kind of get it in the show, and like that scene where she lies to the Vale lords
about Lysa,
and just kind of like sneaks Littlefinger a glance, and then like later on comes down wearing that beautiful black dress, and I'm just like, oh, Sansa, yes, give me life.
I know. It's those moments, and when she gets back to Winterfell post Ramsay, that you really see what she's learned. And she says, when in the scene where they kill Littlefinger, like, I'm a slow learner, but I learn. And you can see all these things. She's watched Cersei. Like, it's her power of observation.
Yeah.
and being quiet, you're right, yeah. and like just taking it in and then filtering it into something that she can then use.
Yeah, she's a master of court life. And yeah. I think like Arya was able to survive in the Riverlands in a way that Sansa would not have been able to. Sansa survived in King's Landing in a way that Arya would not have been able to.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's way too, like...
Oh, no, she would have been killed by Cersei.
Yeah.
So fast. Yeah, yeah. No, that's interesting. I don't think they would have survived in their reversed roles.
What did you think of the Stark kids?
I think this... I'm going to say some controversial things, but sure. That's okay. Yeah. I think the show is actually about the Sansa. That's the development that you get to watch with everybody else going around in terms of sort of the understory. The characters, the actor has done a really nice job because she starts, you sort of hate her. She's so annoying. She's such a little asshole. And she's gone through all this stuff and now she's this lady of the house and she's very, very smart. She's very strategic. But she's still not a pleasant person. No, she's not. But that's what's fascinating about it. And I mean, who would be after you were continuously raped and all this stuff happened to her?
Married
but
off
there's a bit of that same person that's still there, and that is difficult.
Yeah, I think they're both so such emotional people, Arya and Sansa. Arya's benefit and her power, I think, comes from not being emotionally beholden to, like, anyone. She can really, I think... except for her family, but emotionally distance herself so that she can kill whoever she needs to kill because that's the game she's playing now, finishing her list.
She was able to become no one. And then as soon as she reached that point, she was like, fuck that, I'm Arya Stark of Winterfell. Like,
and I got something to say.
Yeah.
So moving from Arya and Sansa to their chaperone... Well, Sansa's chaperone at one point, attempted chaperone, Brienne, who, God bless her, really tries to, like, help those girls.
And yeah, she's not too bright.
She's determined.
Yeah. More body than brains.
And what a body. I mean, she is a fucking machine.
I actually looked her up. She's 6'3", so she's only an inch taller than me. So that shows you, I mean, I don't consider myself monstrous, but on TV, when you're that big, you are.
Yeah.
Because none of the men are that big, none of the women are that big. And she is sort of treated like a freak, just like the little guy is. Mm-hmm. So I think she's pretty good. I think she's underwritten. I'm always going, why are you here? Mm-hmm. Which is heartbreaking, because I love that a giant woman is on this show.
Yeah.
But her role is undefined to me.
Yeah.
Because she's a non-entity.
That's who she is. I don't know if I agree, though, because I think I like that they explore the fact that she's not a knight. Same with Sandor, is that
But do they explore it?
I think so, because so maybe I'm thinking more so in the books, but so Sandor is like, hates his brother, right? Who is a knight, but the Mountain is a monster. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a sadistic man who is like 8 feet tall and just like a killing machine. But he's a knight, and so Sandor is just like, doesn't mean anything to be a knight. What my brother is a knight. Yeah. Anyone can be a knight.
Yeah.
And I think him and Brienne kind of embody that like knighthood isn't about having a sir in front of your name. It's just about the ideals of like protecting the people who can't protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Brienne embodies.
And I think the feeling of them not knowing what to do with Brienne, I think it's probably how she feels in that world. Like, if she was a boy, she would automatically be lord of her house or a knight, or both. Like, it's a very clear trajectory. But she's a woman who likes fighting, who is this big, great force. And that's not a traditional path for anyone in that world, for any women in that world. And so she's kind of blazing her own trail, and she was part of Renslie's Rainbow Guard for a while, and then he died. And where do you go? Do you just offer your services to a house? She often gets made fun of and like gets rape threats all the fucking time, despite how like huge she is. And she then comes across Lady Catelyn, and I think that's the most logical step, is to, okay, swear to a person. And then Catelyn dies, and I think she's always just trying to figure out, okay, what's my next move then? Because there's no clear path to follow. And I think that's interesting. I like that aspect of her character.
She wanted to kill Stannis, and then she got to do that.
Uh-huh. She wanted to protect Sansa and Arya.
Yeah.
And she did that.
I guess there's just most of the characters have an ulterior motive of some kind. Yeah. So when you don't, it's sort of like...
But if they all were, that wouldn't be interesting. If they were all doing that at the same time, it would just get too crazy. Like, okay, you have to have her temper Jamie, and you have to have him learn something from her going back before he returns to life in King's Landing. Like, that is a very important storyline, I find.
Yeah. That's where I said with Jamie, like, that bathtub scene in Harrenhal, so emblematic of the relationship.
You see a really interesting meeting of two people who regularly, in season one, like, just would have been fought. That's it. And then you see them level with each other, and that's probably one of my favorite scenes. So then we've got Daenerys. Dany, Tanner, and her dragon friends. I have very complicated feelings about Daenerys.
Same. You go first.
Okay. I love Daenerys in the book. I don't love Emilia Clarke. I do not think she's a great actor.
She's terrible.
She's pretty bad.
She's awful.
She's pretty bad. She's the worst one.
She's the girl that's your friend that had a mixed race boyfriend and now thinks she's down with the blacks. That's who this girl is.
I'm so, how did we get here?
She's the, this is the most racist part. Like, why is she white? Why is she white? Why are all these slaves calling her mother? It's bad optics for the show.
Oh, for sure.
And then she can't pull it off. So it's a double, it makes you notice it even more. But I do find everything to do with her storyline is almost unbearably racist. I was squirming. I was just... It's not... That's not her... It's not Emilia Clarke's fault.
No.
But should it be her playing it? No. Should have gotten a woman of color to play it.
That would have been very cool to have more people of color in the leads. Yeah.
There's no black people.
No.
Except for these people that don't mean anything.
Or the servants.
Salador Sam.
Yeah, I'm going to free you as a slave, but then hang around and bathe me for the rest of my life. I'm like, what the fuck is this show?
It's, it's British and white.
It's
yikes.
Like,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wish that that was all different, but yeah, she is a weak link. I also think that the little
as an actress?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she's like one of those, it's a very charming child, but as they grow the character, she's, unlike Sansa, having trouble keeping it together. It's falling apart. She's like, now I'm a psychopath, now I'm fine, now I'm killing 800 people. It's
a through line.
Impossible thing to ask a young actor play, who, by the way, had no experience.
Yeah.
None.
Yeah, I would argue Maisie Williams had the tougher ask of the two because her path through that show is insane.
Yeah.
And it goes all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it's not completely believable. And she has trouble selling it some of the time.
Some of the time, I will absolutely agree. Yeah. I think in reverse of her and Emilia Clarke, I think she's gotten worse as the series has gone on, and Emilia Clarke has gotten better.
Yes.
Like season
7. Yeah, I think you're right.
Versus season 1 for Dany. Oh my God. Huge difference.
Yeah.
I find there are some moments with Maisie in the last two series, I'd say, that it's just like...
Yeah, it's off.
It's too self-aware.
Yeah.
It's too...
Yeah. You can see the wheels turning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big time.
Whereas as a kid, it's just impulse. It's just instinct, you know?
But also doing much simpler things as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
But Amelia, she's doing her best, but it is a bitch of a part, too.
It is.
It's
God.
It's kind of a thankless part.
You're speaking four languages per series, really? Like, and a lot of it is, like, Henry V rallying speeches, which are hard to do 7 times in a series. Like, it's a huge ask, for sure.
I just keep wondering, she's the only one, actually, where I kept thinking, who else could do this?
Yeah.
Wait, she's Daenerys.
Or,
Yeah. Who else could do this? Even switcheroos on the show.
Yeah. It was originally a different woman.
Yeah.
Because they filmed the pilot. It did not go well.
Yeah.
They did. I think she was the only one that was recast.
Daenerys?
Yeah.
Probably her tits weren't good enough. You know, very young girls have to disrobe to audition for stuff like this.
Even they're playing 14-year-olds.
Just put that through your mind when you're...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I know in later seasons she was like, okay, we're doing less nudity. Because I can, like, she's flexing her power. She's, like, Emilia Clarke came to the table and was like, no.
Yeah.
We're not doing this. Because in season one, it's like, oh, God, you get...
From the first episode.
Yeah.
I love how none of the women have hair on their bodies.
Either. Isn't that great?
Interesting.
What's up with that?
Yeah.
Gillette.
Like, they have some... The poor women playing the prostitutes are just naked from beginning to end. God. Men are always covered up, naturally. And they have this one gal sitting on it, guys, and she's naked. And she's sort of her legs like this, but it's just... there's no vaginal hair of any kind. Because that's what it was like back then, mm-hmm. everybody.
You just burned it off.
Yeah, the wolves ate it off. So one, I'm angry I can see this woman's vagina. Uh-huh. And two, then there's no hair on it. And I'm like, the show is such a load of shit.
God damn it, HBO.
I kept getting angry with the author, with the producers, uh-huh. with the directors, everybody. I was just enraged. But it's a fun watch. I'm still alive. My heart didn't come right out of my chest.
Sure.
Yeah.
You didn't gouge your own eyes out.
No.
Oh. No. R.I.P. Oberyn.
Yeah. So there are, a lot of... questionable choices, I think they make with the women in this show.
Yeah.
My least favorite scene in the whole series was when Tyrion sends the two prostitutes to Joffrey, the sex workers, to Joffrey as a gift, and then he makes them kill each other.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah. That was not in the books. Not fucking needed. Like, that was a point where it was like, do I continue with the show? Like, if that's season 2 and 3, holy God. They just, like, let's throw some boobs in the background. Can we just get some more boobs in the background here? Like,
it was tough to
It's
watch
real, yeah.
And they are running out of ways to shock people. But you're dull to it. So that's what's dangerous about a show like that. What's happening all the time in every character.
Yeah.
All the time. It's not too great on gays either.
Oh, that... I was like, should we talk about queers in Westeros? No, because they all die. So fast.
They're like, we don't really have a problem with it, but now you're dead.
And I'm like, you pillow biter.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just felt like because it was always this rolling thing. And when it wasn't rape, it was just like unbelievable violence level. Like unreal. Like just heads going off all the time. And shit.
Yeah.
And that thing where they burn the little girl.
God,
I was just like, I think that they're trying to think of the sickest, weirdest stuff. So the show's becoming like this torture porn thing because it's like, what can we do next that's actually going to surprise people? It has to be even worse than what we're usually showing.
Yeah, we've already killed children. We haven't burned them alive.
Yeah.
And I feel like the Red Wedding... in season 3.
Now that was comedic level violence.
What? Okay.
I wanted to hear like some kind of like clown music in the background. It's like, what is happening? What's that stabbing the pregnant woman in the gut?
Yeah, it's
like what?
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, it's so but it's so fast and crazy. And I was like, what? Yeah, like I was like, what?
That also did not happen in the books.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No.
So that red wedding didn't happen.
No, the red wedding did happen.
But Robb Stark's wife in the books is Westerosi, and it's kind of half implied that like they also colluded with the Lannisters because they were left out of the red wedding. So she's now maybe pregnant.
She didn't die. She's not there. She wasn't there at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, why do you need it?
Because they want to shock people.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who's the head of that house.
David Bradley. My God. Broadchurch. And I met him and he is so nice.
Oh, yeah. He
is
would
so
be.
Sweet.
Broadchurch and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
The old janitor always who's like, I hate Potter. You fucking kids. Like, he's always like, he was so good in Broadchurch, he felt so sorry for him. That was actually a different part for him because he's always this guy. He always plays this old witch of an old man. But you know, that part where she steals his face, somebody's got to explain that to me because I still don't understand what that even is. He did better than her. He played Arya
playing
better
him.
than her when he did that because
God.
You saw that it was, you could tell it was her.
Yeah. Like it was
when
Arya
he was
playing.
That's right. But he had to do it.
Yeah.
And you could tell.
Yeah.
But that's the difference between having 90 years experience and 4 years experience, right?
And you've got Jonathan Pryce and Charles Dance. And you see just the disparity there sometimes.
Yeah.
The older actors.
But anyway, I loved him. And I didn't feel that bad for the Starks. Because I love seeing him get that enjoyment.
Oh, just like sitting at his table, yeah. Like,
yeah. He's just like, oh, good stuff.
This is good. I did this.
Yeah. Yeah. This was the right thing to do. I love that I made this choice. Oh, I'm loving it. I love how they're like medieval instruments turned into like machine guns or whatever.
Oh, isn't it great? Yeah.
So stupid.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's just the 18 theme song.
Oh, so good.
So we've got a lot of interesting and problematically portrayed women. And we could talk about other ones. Catelyn Stark. She is a great,
great
character.
Yes.
Just
good actress.
Great actress.
Yeah,
oh,
she
Michelle
didn't get enough
Fairley.
To do, really.
That's
yeah.
the thing, is yeah. Catelyn doesn't get a lot to do until she dies. Which is something that's not included in the show. After she dies, Beric Dondarrion, the guy who keeps bringing people back to life, finds her in the river and brings her back to life, and he dies. So
why wouldn't they do that?
Right? Oh my god, Lady Stoneheart. So then she's known as Lady Stoneheart.
Okay.
And she goes around seeking revenge on the Freys and the Lannisters, and she just goes around hanging people. And like, she meets Brienne at one point, and like, oh, it's so good. And the fact that they did not include her in the show is...
I think they wanted to let the little girl be the one to get the full revenge. You know what I mean?
I think they kind of put Lady Stoneheart and Arya in the same.
Yeah.
I think they might have done it too because... to enhance the impact of Jon Snow coming back. Because
that's what I'm
wondering
too.
One main character.
They're like, we have to have the guy that looks like Jesus come back alive. He's 5 foot Jesus.
Yes, right. Great. They already established that it was possible.
The shortest great Jesus.
They already established with Beric Dondarrion that, you know, you could come back to life. And so, but he's a secondary character, right? So to have it done with Lady Catelyn and then again with Jon Snow.
Right.
Although it's going to be different.
That's another reason why he got to finish it, because there's all these storylines. Sansa goes on a completely different journey, never meets Ramsay, never marries him, like...
Oh, yeah, good, so that rape was also
a
bonus?
It was another character to which it happens in the books, they just gave that role to Sansa.
Sansa's going through the good men. She's just like, wow. Finding the rapiest.
Yeah. Except for Tyrion.
The oldest, shortest. Yeah.
Goodest man.
But at least he didn't rape her.
Yeah.
He's a hero!
Bare minimum.
Yay!
Bare minimum.
Men just.
men could all burn in hell. Just like, no.
I like that they had to establish that he explicitly would not rape her because
only
Tywin
she was
young. Father was like, you will get her pregnant, and he was like, no.
I'm good. No. I like consent.
Yeah.
You know, that's
well,
a crazy
also
concept.
He's fucking her maid.
Yeah.
Shay.
That was a whole weird storyline.
Yeah.
Too. I'm just like, I'm so confused by everything.
Yeah.
What is it? I don't care.
Don't love her performance either.
No.
But,
yeah. That Cher looking motherfucker. I was expecting a lot better because of the Cherness, and then she was lame.
Yeah, she's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Liza Aaron, barely in it, but an interesting character who pretty much starts the whole Game of Thrones story because she kills her husband.
Yeah.
And I would be remiss if I didn't pour one out for my Lady Ygritte and the Waif, who I think is pretty fucking badass.
Who's that?
She's the one who's training Arya and has a black and white and keeps, like, hitting her. They play the Lion Game, or the Game of Faces.
Oh, yeah.
And then they've got,
who are you?
She's a full
didn't
robot.
Didn't she actually marry the Jon Snow guy?
Ygritte did.
Yeah.
Rose Leslie, she's great.
Downton Abbey.
Yeah,
she was pretty good.
Yeah.
If you were impressed by a windmill, you'd be swooning if you saw the Great Keep at Winterfell.
Not swooning.
Fainting.
What's fainting?
When a girl sees blood and collapses.
Why would a girl see blood and collapse?
Well, not all girls are like you.
All girls see more blood than boys. Or do you like girls who swoon, Jon Snow? Oh, a spider! Save me, Jon Snow!
My dress is made of the purest silk from Tra-la-la-la-lally day.
I'd like to see you in a silk dress.
Would you?
So I could tear it off you.
Well, you rip from a pretty silk dress. I'll blacken your eye.
So, for the last question, it's going to be a bit... You can expand on it how much you want. You can just put it out there. Who do you want to see? Should there be someone on the Iron Throne at the end? Who do you want to see? Who do you think would be the best person to sit the throne?
I want to see Sansa on the Iron Throne. I think that between the shrewdness that she's learned from Cersei and Littlefinger and her Stark-ish values, I think she'd be the most suited.
I'm going to throw down for Sansa too, for sure. She has a great history in terms of learning how to be a politician, how to be a leader. She has... is just a good person, which, like, not a lot of people are in this world. I think that she would be a great leader. And sadly, I don't think she would want it.
I don't think so either, but I think that that's the mark of a good leader, is someone
who... She hasn't won anything. She didn't want to be the lady of the house either, but she's doing it.
Yeah. Like, the idea behind the Iron Throne is that it shouldn't be comfortable, and that's why it's made out
right.
of
that's thousands very good of swords.
It should, like, you shouldn't be comfortable ruling. I think she would do a good job at it, though.
I think so, too. I think so, too. H2?
I agree, actually. I think... I'd love to see her get it. Do I think it's going to happen?
I do think Daenerys will sit on the Iron Throne at some point, but I don't think she's going to make it. I think she'll die.
Oh, I think she's going to die. Yeah. I think she's definitely going to die. I keep thinking back to her in the House of the Undying when she's in the throne room at King's Landing, and it's just desecrated. There's ash falling. Mm. And then she goes up to touch the Iron Throne, but then she doesn't.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm wondering if that's
interesting.
Prophetic.
She's gonna get close.
Prophecies are so huge on this show. Like, they're like, oh, Cersei, three kids, someone younger, and then the Valonqar prediction as well, which is that the younger brother will murder her.
She thinks it's Tyrion.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be Jaime.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Jaime too. Or she survives. She's the one that makes it to the end.
I could see her surviving because she is wily.
She's relentless. Yeah.
Yeah. And her guard is all the way up at this point. She sees everyone as a murderer. Yeah. So she's not going to be caught off guard.
She trusts no one.
Yeah.
At this point, other than Qyburn, probably no one. I think she's going to make it longer than most. I think she'll survive quite a bit this season. I don't think Jon's going to live. I think he's going to die. I also think Arya's going to die. Yeah. I don't think Arya will survive season 8.
So that would clear out the Starks except for Sansa.
Yeah. I think she... Well, and Bran. I don't know about Bran. I don't know what's going to happen there.
What are they going to do with Bran?
He's going to start a laser
show.
They
started all this bullshit with him. They better follow through with something.
Something big has got to...
Something's got to happen because they built him up as almost
Oracle
creature.
Yeah,
the Southern Oracle.
Yeah.
Where his fucking eyes go into the back of his head and stuff.
Yeah.
And... they've got to do something, or it just sort of seems kind of...
Be a fortune teller, so you can tell John that, oh, yeah, your parents are da-da-da.
Yeah.
Bye. Done. My job here is done. I don't know. I have no idea where they're going to take that. I don't think the dragons are going to survive. They're all going to die.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Now, what? I asked you this before. Yeah. Is it another planet? Is it supposed to be here? Where is it?
Is it
another reality of some kind?
Yeah, it's an alternate. It's a planet in itself, but it's supposed to be inspired by Earth. Like,
so then you don't have to. I don't think, because I mean, if I was saying if he was basing it loosely on ancient Earth in some way, I'd say yeah, the dragons are gonna go because there's no dragons.
I think we're gonna be dealt some pretty hard blows this season.
Oh yeah, I mean,
and I don't think the dragons are.
If he's gonna pull us from this magical world into the real world,
I would hate that. I would hate that so much if it was like. Smash cut to Daenerys at her desk finishing her manuscript.
It was Sam Tarly writing out
the whole fucking
going
book.
Going from the Dark Ages into a kind of enlightenment.
Oh, I see. Then the dragons have to go. Yeah. I feel like this show is going to be the death of magic in that world.
Yeah.
I think that's going to come to a close. Oh, God.
We'll see. We'll find out in season 8.
In 2 months, this is going to be done. It's going to be over.
Yeah.
Thank God.
You've put in 2 months, all right? You don't even know. I've been waiting years for this thing.
I know.
7 years.
But do you, now, try to think of this as maybe not as rabid a fan. Get some distance. Do you think maybe it's a little too long of a show? Because I was sort of thinking maybe this could have all been done in 6 seasons. Because I find some of it does stretch.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? God, like, some of these storylines and some of the battles, I'm like, guys, it's been 20 minutes. We're fighting. Like, what the
fuck? Yeah, Dani, they really pad out her storyline throughout the series. Yeah. Like, you probably could have cut a full season of her story just trimming the fat.
And they could, I mean, they did it with Bran. Like, they cut him out of a whole season. How much time do you want to spend with Bran being inside a tree learning how to
see the past?
See the past.
Yeah.
Close your eyes, girl. Look inside, girl. Hold on, that's all I can hear. He looks like Vince Noir from Mighty Boosh. Like, I was just like, no, what? This guy is off. He's just a goth teenager.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm part like just so excited for the season, partially just excited for it to be over. Like, it's been it's been a lot of emotional investment for a long time, between the books and the show, because you know, I find the my emotional investment comes more from the books. That's where I fall in love with the characters. The show is great, but I'm just kind of I just want to know at this point. Any final thoughts on Game of Thrones? Anything we didn't cover?
Favorite scenes?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely have one of those. Okay. You guys go ahead.
I think for me it's tied between Hold the Door, like just that like purely tragic moment when you realize that Bran is evil and fucked up Hodor. And the other one, yeah, the church, when before the church blows out.
She is part of my favorite scene. That's one of my favorite scenes. It's the only time I laughed in this miserable existence of a show. Was when that there was a big battle going on. And she's down in the basement with the women, and they're praying. She's like, what do you do? We're praying. And she just starts, she's drinking the whole time. She's like, listen, you dumb little shit. You're praying, are you? Like, and she gets to go through this whole, like, she's so good, and I just laughed the whole time. I was like, now the show's coming alive. Like, she got this line, and she keeps going, come over here.
I want to talk to you.
Little dance off. How's your period, you little bitch? Like, I was like, yes. So funny.
So good.
So good. Yeah. She's so great. I don't want her to die. I don't want her to die. Yeah. I hope she kills her brother.
Which one?
Jamie. Fucking one. Yeah.
The fucking one.
Yeah. And she's like, hey, you want to fuck? Just kidding. Remember when you raped me? I'm going to stab you in the skull. And it'll be done. That's going to be a great
That's the
ending.
Whole season.
That's the end of the show. That's what it was all for.
People would be so mad.
Yeah.
But it would be fun.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite scene, Septa Baelor. Oh my God. That first, yeah. Can't. That's just excellent television.
Yeah.
Excellent television. Yeah. And then the the Battle of the Bastards is very well filmed. Yeah. Like, holy God, just as like, just technically, holy shit, that was really well done. So I'm gonna say those two are probably my favorite. Any Lady Olenna scene, anytime she shows up,
Was the Bastards thing when they? Between the two feet. Yeah, that was intense.
That whole battle back to Winterfell, and Sansa feeds him to the fucking dogs. Oh, girl!
So satisfying.
So satisfying.
Starving to death. Those giant dogs.
Thank you for your
lessons. This has been Sansa. Bye. And she watches like a pervert.
So good, girl.
Sansa exactly. Out. Yeah. Out in a couple of weeks from when this episode airs.
Oh, it'll haunt you.
Yeah.
It already is.
Do you think you're going to watch season 8?
I don't know. I got through it, I was like, I'm never watching this again. But now I'm like, kind of curious about what happens.
Sure.
So I might watch at least some of it. I'm sure every blogger and YouTuber will be updating me. being like, oh, hi guys, sorry I haven't made a video in a while, but actually I have to thank, I think it's called Crammed. I watched those YouTube videos for this, and the guy was really funny, and that's what got me through it, because he was saying a lot of what I was thinking. Like, he would say, like, we have to show Cersei one of these dead things. This plan doesn't make any sense, but it's season 7, and we gotta wrap this shit up now. As we're going through it, but every time he got to a huge thing, like, he was like, it turns out that he's not a bastard, because it's this, and then it shows the baby, and then Jon Snow, and he goes, oh my god. Like that. I also made it a lot more fun. So
that's great. Well, if you want to recap,
Jon Snow is not a fun guy.
No, he's not. No fun or lightness.
Speaking of goth idiots,
to quote Brienne, a bit broody, but he's all right.
He's all right.
So if you want to catch up before season 8, if you don't want to go and rewatch the whole series, check out these cramp videos.
For sure.
That sounds excellent.
Thanks, buddy.
Also, if you want some outside Game of Thrones fun content, check out Gay of Thrones, which is Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. It's a great little web series. He has different guests on every time. It's so good.
The show?
It's a recap. He's like a hairstylist, and then he has some, oh my god, you'll never guess what happened on Game of Thrones, Hanny. And then they go through.
Cersei got a haircut!
And he has like these great nicknames for everyone, and like, it's so good. Well, thank you for joining us on this Westeros journey, this crazy, crazy experience of one of the rapiest shows of all time. Mm-hmm. And we're about a month away. When this airs, it'll be a
couple weeks.
Days away.
Yeah.
From the beginning of season 8. So, winter
enjoy.
Is coming. Winter has come.
Winter is here.
Winter has come. Yeah. Yeah.
Now that winter has taken over, I'd once again like to thank you for joining us on the Popular Parallax. And Parallaxers, I'm very pleased to announce that I'm speaking to you through our brand new sound equipment, so I can once again sound like the Queen of Dragons I truly am. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or take an even deeper dive into the Popular Parallax on our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/popularparallax. See you in May.